This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Boynodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization with which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 48, live from the Bean.
Hello and welcome to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. We're coming to you live, as you can probably hear, from Bean Traders, and we are going to have a caffeine-induced show for you today. We're here. We're live. We're all three in the same room. This is Michael Martin.
We'll even have photographic evidence to prove that there are three people on this show.
Yes. And there's Michael Rowe, and there's Phaedra right around here. So, exactly. So, do we have a show and a half for you guys?
Maybe,
and a live studio audience?
Maybe a show and three quarters.
We do have a live studio audience.
Yeah, yes. So this is cool.
Okay.
So
the first item up for business today is a little bit on the dark side.
Yes, because we ended last show on such a high note, so happy. Everybody was like really excited about how friendly and fluffy we were.
Yes, well,
i.e. the rant show.
So what do we come back with? We come
another
back
rant.
With another no
we're
it's coming
not a rant.
We're
this
coming back with a dark, gloomy something I wouldn't actually do. I don't watch scary movies, so this is not my cup of tea or coffee.
Yeah, but the whole idea is it's not just the scary movie part. It's really the cool way of this new app of bringing a story over time through push notifications.
Right. It's called Haunting Melissa.
Haunting Melissa.
Yes.
And the idea is most horror flicks, right, there's some aspect of suspense, uncertainty.
Doomy, gloomy,
scary stuff, yes. And so what these guys have done is they've decided to release a movie as an app.
Just checking.
And one of the neat mechanics that they've done, and I'm actually pretty excited about this. I'm not too excited about the price because the price is like full movie download price.
More.
No.
Well, if you buy $15 a pop, right?
$15. If you buy an HD movie on like iTunes or on Google Play,
yeah, okay.
It's about $15 for an HD
right.
movie.
I guess you're right.
So this to me immediately puts a really high bar on the quality. So the app is free, and what they do is they actually enable a story of fishing. It's a story all about fishing.
No, they're reeling you in. It's free to start.
It's the crack model.
Yes.
No. But we haven't downloaded it yet. We watched a little bit of the trailer video, which, you know, typical kind of scary movie.
Four million likes on Facebook.
4.1 freaking million likes, which tells me there's a lot of people who like horror movies.
And a lot of people are going to get marketing because they liked it on Facebook,
That's
too.
Right. But the basic premise is there's a haunting that occurs kind of like in The Ring. And
yes.
That whole series of movies. As a matter of fact, I believe the guy who created this movie is the guy who created the Ring story.
Oh, I thought there was the Blair Witch Project kind of stuff here too. Going
it
on,
is. Right? So you
is
have
the
this
same guy.
No, I don't think it's the same guy. But I know reading through is the guy who did the Ring, which is this kind of jerky, scary, startle movement, tension building. Just type scary movie, right? And
those.
So the idea is you never know what's going to happen. You never know when it's going to happen. And the way the app works is it pushes events to you that then cause you to either watch, you know, 30 seconds of the movie up to 20 minutes of the movie.
Right.
And so the idea being that just like in a scary movie itself where you don't know what's going to happen, how long it's going to last, and what the output or the effects of it are, this app tries to draw you into the story at that same type of just insanity that you have in these scary flicks.
So it's an immersive storytelling, Phaedra, right?
But I think what they're trying to do is really quite challenging. I mean, what if you're out on a sunny day kayaking, you get a little buzz from your cell phone, you pick it up, and these guys, within the space of 20 seconds, are trying to put you into a mood.
And then you throw your phone in the water.
It must be hard. I mean, think about it. Just like little bites trying to put a mood on someone that quickly.
But it could work really well. It could be that they're going to time it so they know what time zone you're in, right? So
that's true, because
about
the
that.
Push notification can be tied to your
true.
Geolocation.
Right.
Right. If you're in the middle of a lake, they're probably not going to do the drowning scene.
Well, maybe they will. Maybe they will. There could be
a
location.
There's a hole in the bottom of your boat.
sure, why not, right? So you could have that. It could be they're going to wait till a certain time of night so they know when the sun has gone down or it's just dusk. Ooh, and then up pops a text.
Right? That's why I'm really glad that in iOS 6, the phone that I use, actually enabled the nighttime leave me the heck alone mode, right? So don't give me any notifications. Don't call me if I don't know you and have you on the list.
Yes, right. So I thought about that too, that a game like this might have the need to be proactive to say, give me permission to bug you in the middle of the night. Like, let me call you at 3 in the morning and give you this scary little video snippet via SMS.
Well, what it reminded me of, and wow. Fader, you and I played with this app too, the Mac Heist app, where you have this series of puzzles, and it started off, you're trying to break into this vault, and it would come up, and the app starts, and it's like your phone's ringing. And then you're chatting with this person on the phone that tells you, we've got a mission for you, you need to go in and break into blah, 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 vault. And then there's a series of games. But in this case, it'd be, we've got a mission for you, we're going to scare the crap out of you, and there's a series of scary events.
Yes. So if we flip the model, right, just a little bit, because I think this works well.
Flip education that we talked about last week? Callback.
Yeah, no, there we go. Sure. You know, flip the classroom, right?
If you didn't hear last week's episode, you should go back to games@work.biz and go listen to it.
And if you did, we will talk a little bit about Dragon Box again because that came up like 6 times. So anywho, the point that I'm on with this is that this kind of model could be used for a variety of things. Could be used for advertising, could be used for brand awareness, could be used for simple enjoyment. And you know, you could have a reunion, for example, for a class or for school or for
American
business
Pie.
Or anything, American Pie. And you have to get your Chevy to that levee in order to unlock the next messages that are going to come through.
But the levee was dry, so you have to go there and you buy Awkwafina.
Yes.
But it's in essence a new take on the alternate reality game, right? The ARG.
Yes, yes.
But I think what really makes it powerful is if they really use the data that's available, knowing, you know, the geospatial data, who you are, what
time
kinds
zones,
of, you know, the time zone. The more information they can curate about the person, the more targeted the stream can be, which I think would make it more effective.
Well, it just reminds me, so a really late, really old callback to the original Clue movie, where you had different endings.
Yeah, there was
right?
like 6 or 7, wasn't there?
Right,
yeah.
And so the idea is there enough data, and is there enough desire by the makers of the game to actually, or the movie in this case, to actually film all those different variations, and then does the whole story hold to go together, right? So, for example, I may be a very eclectic person. So I spend my morning in a coffee shop,
in the afternoon
in an office, and the evenings at the opera. Right?
Yes.
So what are the different elements in that pull together to create this horror story?
For you.
For me.
That's personal.
So next thing I know, it's like the ghost of Pavarotti, but, you know, he's not dead.
What if you could crowdsource endings and you actually have your user base creating different streams of the stories?
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh. That would be good.
It'd be like the iReporter of scariness.
but you could guide the whole story this way. I mean, there's a whole range of things that you have on American and other international television these days about, you know, you're voting the best voice, the best dancer, the best this, the best that. You could have the voting going on for the best storyline and ending and branching it based upon the user interaction, which now gives you your advertising, which now gives you your immersion, which now gives you the really drawing you in.
And you could find out what really causes people to just get scared out of their wits. And then you could ratchet that up over time. So the tension in the story in this one could actually get even more insane as you go by, because you find more and more people get really stressed about this one thing.
So I was going to say remember, but I can't because none of us do.
Huh?
But when Tolkien was writing The Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I remember that.
This came out in bits and pieces in the British media.
Yeah, it was actually a magazine series.
Yes, exactly. And there were all these graffiti that were showing up in subways and elsewhere about Frodo living. Frodo lives.
Yeah,
did
Frodo
you remember
lives.
Reading
yep.
about this?
Yes.
This is the same.
I remember.
You remember reading about it. As opposed to scrawling it in the, you know.
Yeah, I didn't scrawl.
So, but this kind of breaking the fourth wall, the third wall,
fourth
second wall.
Wall
for one of the walls, right? You know, Edmund Drood is another example. Where the users, the audience, kind of determines what the outcome is.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of infotainment, advertising opportunity, moving a storyline along,
man.
Sponsored
so that
by.
Just took me on another yeah. angle there because of the great integration that a lot of the car companies are doing now with your cell phone.
Yes.
And actually showing content on a screen in the vehicle while you're driving. Can you imagine the push while you're driving down the road?
No.
At, let's say at roughly
the ghost
speed
in the machine?
Oh my God.
You're driving down the road and suddenly this face pops up on the display going, no, no.
Oh. Turn back now.
Stop the car. Pull over now.
I'm envisioning what's that white faced guy, you know, the master or something like that, or you know.
Yeah, I didn't watch those.
Yeah,
the one with the scary movie made fun of him all the time.
There's something like, I don't know.
Yeah,
this,
yeah.
It was a
Puppet
different
master
one.
Or something. Like
no,
that.
No,
Hellraiser.
No, it wasn't any of those.
In his face.
It wasn't a Hellraiser. It was this one guy who would like tell you to do things. Maybe it was like Oz or something like that. You know that maybe that was what I'm thinking of. But anyway, it's fun.
There's only one guy that tells you to do things. I only hear one voice in my head telling me to do things, but
that's because you're not getting the radio signal.
That's right.
Well.
I need to turn on the tuner.
And by the way, we should say a nice shout out to all of our friendly listeners who are tapping into this podcast through whatever means you're doing.
That's right.
In our national government. So, hey guys,
governments, the
yes.
shadow government, and the other government,
and the government of the governments.
That's right.
Beta. Oh, this was good. See, I told you this is going to be a caffeine-induced good show for us so far.
Well, speaking
of.
Sixth
espresso.
I think this is either sixth or seven total in the number of drinks that I've had, shots of espresso.
Awesome.
Awesome sauce, man. Awesome sauce.
Oh
so, speaking
all right.
of
so now we,
caffeine-induced frenzies.
So now we are going to go into...
caffeine-induced frenzies.
I keep on forgetting the terms you guys were using. The economic term is called perverse incentives.
Yes,
right?
but I'm going to call it caffeine-induced frenzies about, you know... Just incorrect incentives.
Incorrect incentives. That's right.
Yes.
That's what it was.
And so I had an experience this week on a major airline.
Yes.
We won't mention their name.
Okay.
For protecting their innocence.
Did they break your guitar?
They did.
Oh.
It was an air guitar and they broke it. Can you believe that?
They broke your air guitar. Get out.
No. So you know, most airlines have some kind of seating policy for boarding the plane.
Yes.
And it usually goes something like this. People who have difficulty boarding first.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
Then first class.
Mm-hmm.
Then some kind of privileged user.
Premier. Or, you know,
privilege of some sort. It could be
yes,
premier, it could be gold,
whatever.
It could be whatever. I don't
yeah,
care.
Yeah.
And then boarding from either the front of the plane backwards or the back of the plane forwards.
Right.
Right? Very simple. So the privileged user is a reward for flying that airline a lot.
Right, because right? you can get in and get your overhead space before these
overhead
other people
space,
get you.
You got it.
And why is overhead space important?
Because it's an incentive. So airlines are having problems with overhead space.
Yes. Well, they created, unfortunately.
Because they charge to check in your bags.
So here's the thing that happened to me this week on multiple flights. So this is the new boarding policy. Difficulty boarding. First class. Ultra high level premier. People who pay to be seated early.
Ooh.
People who only have one bag that fits under the seat in front of them.
People who are wearing purple.
Then the rest of the premiere, then boarding in sequence. Okay. Now, the idea here, I believe, the incentive was we want to get people...
To pay.
To check their luggage. Because we need the overhead space. So we're going to get people to check their luggage. That's the desired behavior. The problem is the people who tend not to check their luggage are your business travelers who are landing and immediately going to a business meeting of some sort. They're time constrained. They also tend to be loyal to certain airlines because they're going to get perks out of it.
Right, like being able to board early.
So what happened is the people who only have one bag and tend to check other bags are your vacation travelers, so they have too much, so it doesn't fit under the seat anyway. And the people who don't travel a lot, and they might just be doing a very quick day trip. And The other aspect of this is they tend to, when allowing people to board with only one bag that fits under the seat in front of them, they don't actually validate that those people then put the bag in the seat in front of them, underneath the seat in front of them.
Yeah, I should put an RFID tag on it.
So what happens is the people who are not, who can afford to, you know, deal with flight delays and all this other stuff, then put their bags in the overhead, taking up the space that's supposed to be freed up by their policy, and penalizing the premiers, the business travelers, and everybody else who are the ones that the airlines make the most money off of.
Yeah, okay, so I think you're missing the point here. The point is that the airline doesn't care so much about the overhead space. They do because they want on-time departures. But I think what they really want is they want you to pay. So if you're a lower-level premier customer, so you're silver instead of gold,
I can tell you the incentive that they gave me, because I did do a carry-on, is I won't be flying that airline unless I absolutely have to.
Yeah, yeah. But that's
so they've lost business.
Well, they don't know that.
They did, because I tweeted it at them.
Did you get a response?
I got a couple of different responses.
Oh, did you now?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's nice. But my take on it is the airline is looking to maximize revenue because they're a publicly traded company. And if they can get you to spend an extra $10, $15, $50, $100 on your seat to get you to, you know, economy plus, because this is a new trend that I'm seeing. And, you know, those 3 inches, you know, are a big difference on a long-haul flight. So you might be inclined to say, yeah, I'll spend an extra $100 to go do that. They're trying to now up you in your expense
a little
more. The
thing that I thought was really funny was the pay to board early was $9.
Yeah. Well, sure.
It's a trivial amount.
It's a giving it away. So why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you do that, right?
Well, let's talk about if one were to introduce games into this scenario.
Exactly.
Yes.
I think gaming it would be a much better way of addressing it
and still
get the desired result.
It would be more fair. It could be engaging as people are waiting to board. Whoever wins the game gets to board first.
Right. So I think you're onto something really good here because you can give away something, sleeves off of your vest kind of structure that would increase...
You've got sleeves on your vest?
I would give you the sleeves.
Man, I have a special vest that doesn't have sleeves.
I would give you the sleeves from my vest. I'm that kind of a guy.
You are that kind of a guy. I know.
I'd give you the shirt out of my suitcase even, too. So, you know. But so
only on the return trip.
No, I wash them usually, sometimes.
And to back up air guitar for the one he lost.
I compensate you.
Back
but
up
you,
air guitar.
You could increase customer loyalty, make things, like you said, a little bit more fun. So let's imagine what that scenario might look like. So what would be essentially a perk you could give away, a little bit of randomness that there's a winner or several winners that costs absolutely nothing. I think boarding priority would be one of them. Right, so you could say, okay, look at your boarding cards. If your boarding card has blah 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 on it, you know, you are now are going to board with the first class people, or immediately after the first class people, you've won, right? Through no fault of your own, you've won. Happy, good luck to you. So that could be a small random game.
Actually, you know, it'd be a good give. You know, the exit row seating gives you that extra leg room, right?
Mm-hmm.
They could have a strength contest because half the people that sit in exit rows can't actually carry the 50-pound door that they have to move out of the way.
A strength contest.
So you could have a hammer.
Big mallet,
yeah,
you know,
and just bang the thing.
If you want to sit in the exit row, you actually have to lift this 50-pound door and carry it across the area.
And if you can do that,
then you can
sit
there.
You get an exit row seat. Oh, that'd be great.
That's too funny.
Well, in the pre-show, Fader, we talked a little bit about the idea of challenges, too, right? So if people were inclined and decided that they wanted to have some fun with this, they could say, yeah, I'm willing to take a challenge for the seat that I've got.
Let's say there were 3 seats open right at the front of the plane. The rest of the people who aren't part of first class could go and challenge each other to see who's going to get those 3 seats.
Wrestling.
I'm thinking something with their smartphones.
Rock, paper,
yeah, no, I think something with the smartphones.
Actually,
branded.
The reason you want it branded in the smartphone is because then you get the geolocation data. You have to like it on Facebook to connect up and get their demographic information.
And
tie it to their frequent flyer card.
And because there's geospatial, you would know that they're at the terminal
waiting.
At the gate waiting. It can't be somebody who's not going to show up for their
double
flight.
Double your miles for this flight.
Oh, that would be
that's
another
a
thing,
good one too.
Because that costs even less than zero.
Right, right.
That's a good one, too.
So you could do some of these kind of things that have a little bit of randomness to them, a little bit of skill.
Family Feud, Trivial Pursuit.
Head-to-head, Tetris-y sort of things.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah, sure, why not? You know?
Thumb wrestling with masks.
What, you know, little...
Little masks
Lucho
on your thumb.
Kind of...
Nacho Libre thumb wrestling.
I like it. I think... You know who I think would be into this is Southwest. You, just because of their whole culture.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
They would like that.
I think they would like it.
An extra pack of peanuts. You could win the whole plane an extra pack of peanuts. If, you know, the randomly selected person
up on the
board so that has to play their game.
Yeah.
And the nice thing there is it reduces the resentment that the other pastors leaders have because you win and get something, and they also get something, too.
Yeah, see, that would be neat.
I like this. Oh, we are on to something. Anybody writing this stuff down?
I've already submitted the patent application. Thank you.
Luckily, we're recording.
Pending.
We're recording, and this will not be published until Sunday.
After that.
After the patent is submitted.
No, this is good stuff. This is exactly where we want to be. And I think that's the way of aligning incentives to something that's good for the brand or the company, something that's good for the consumer.
It's got to be a win-win is the key thing there. It can't be considered a win-loss, not just between the individual consumer and the brand, but also the other consumers on the flight. You want to engage them in a positive way. Like I said, the idea with give everybody an extra thing of peanuts and you get the better seat.
Yeah.
Real rewards. Not
and
virtual
you can get a
badges.
Badge.
But, no, I just said not virtual badges. Real rewards, people.
But it's also reality TV on a localized front, right? Looking around. You're seeing these other passengers that are
Who's
there.
Who's playing?
Who's in on this?
And then you get to vote one passenger off the plane mid-flight.
No. Do you remember those bar games that have those trivia kind of things?
Yes.
The same sort of structure, I think, could apply. You could have branded trivia that you're playing against the other passengers on the plane.
And what beer did our last plane crash?
Yeah, right. Who paid attention to the name of our pilot? Is it this person, this person, this person, this person?
It was Captain...
You know?
And First Officer...
So I was on a flight to come here on Monday, and I will not say the name of the airline, but I actually did provide them kudos. You know how you watch...
If it's the same airline...
It might be.
I think it is, and I'm going to get upset with you.
Well, so
I'm going to rant. If you do that, I'm going to... No, go ahead.
Then you haven't already?
No.
So we're flying across the ocean, and you know how you've got the normal seatbelt sort of warnings and saying, hey, you know, this is how you fasten and unfasten the seatbelt, and when this light comes on, you know, try not to smoke or whatever, right? So normally I watch the flight attendants when they're going through the motions, and I pay attention because it's important and it's part of their
job. It's courtesy.
But I normally don't watch the video because, like, you know, it's a video, right? Well, this particular airline was really funny. They actually added a few things in the video that were humorous.
Really?
Not over the top, not Mighty Python-esque, but humorous. You know, for example, when they said when the seatbelt sign is illuminated, you need to be in your seat and you need to have the seatbelt fastened. And then they showed a couple of other lights that were going on there too, like a guy in the red circle slash who was juggling chainsaws, you know? So it was an example of another lighted placard that you're supposed to comply with because of federal rules and regulations.
You know what I really like about those videos? They play them after you're already supposed to be seated, buckled in, and the door's closed.
Yes.
If you haven't figured out how to buckle up by now, and actually I had a funny story about that. The lady sitting across from me on the flight home last night.
Yes.
Or Wednesday night.
Couldn't buckle?
Couldn't buckle.
Really?
And was trying to hide it from the stewardess. So I finally looked over and said, let me help you.
I was just going to say, like, who doesn't know how to buckle their seatbelt at this day and age? Wow.
Apparently, well,
the lady in the seat next to me.
Wow.
Now, in all fairness, she was an elderly lady.
Yes.
And whoever had sat there before had a seat extender on it, and they didn't clean the plane right and remove it.
So
she was confused. She's like, there's three segments. I don't know what to. I'm like, just undo that one, hand it to the steward when they come by, and then it works just like the car you used to drive in the 50s. I didn't say it that way. 60s.
You're much too kind.
Thank
you. Did you ask her about Tolkien?
I did. She said she remembers when he released the stuff in the magazine in Britain.
Frodo lives.
Back when she was in her 30s. Okay, 1930s.
All right, guys. Did we have one last topic to hit? Do we have a? Do we have some final throws?
I think we do have one last topic. Phaedra, where are you going today?
Today, the city of Durham is sponsoring a big entrepreneurship festival called Paradoxos, and it is the place to be today.
Are you sure it's Paradoxos?
Yes, it's Paradoxos.
It has that sauce.
Yes, you must pronounce it with a Greek accent to fit in.
All right.
I like the head shake that goes with that. I get to see that, you know?
Oh, snap.
So what is this thing?
It's an entrepreneurial festival.
They have had their pitches where they did their VC pitches last night, right?
Did you go last night?
I didn't go last night, but I heard all about it. They've had lots of sponsors. IBM is a sponsor, and I don't know who else is a sponsor. Triangle Startup Factory is there. All kinds of groups.
The American Tobacco.
And they are partnering with all the
breweries.
The breweries in the area. Thank you.
All so
the
breweries Fulstein in the area. Is there. And
So as you go and talk to these startup companies, you can have a nice
beverage
of
two.
Choice. Right.
Per
so it's
going to
be a lot of fun.
Working man's lunch.
Telling
awesome.
Ya, that's wow. it. That's it.
Yeah,
boost creativity with some hops.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, what goes better with innovation than
good
beer?
Beverages.
Nice ice cold pale ale or
nice IPA.
Oh, and there's gonna be food trucks.
Excellent.
So
speaking of breweries and alcoholic beverages
and food trucks.
So Michael, are you aware that one of your favorite little places in Chapel Hill is now a distillery also?
Top of the Hill?
Top of the Hill.
Is a distillery?
Yes.
Do they make palenka?
They make vodka.
That's kind of like palenka, but it's not really.
No, because palenka is more like schnapps.
Yes.
But they're now a distillery.
How about that?
Awesome sauce.
Is it?
Yeah.
The second time you've used that phrase today.
That actually, the third I sent it an email to.
I know. I wasn't counting. That was the second time for them. So on the. That's really, really cool. I remember them contemplating that
Yes,
beforehand.
They're doing it now.
Yes. Well, good. Well, I did bring some palenka back with me, so I have it now in the house in Chapel Hill, so I at least have one bottle of it.
You didn't bring any to this?
What's the That's the Hungarian beverage, palenka?
Palenka, yes.
Potato? Made from potato?
No, it's natural
berries.
Fruit distilled. So it comes from grapes, from apricots, from cherries, big.
Mm.
Hungarians love their cherry.
Is it like a schnapps?
Are they like a black cherry or a sour cherry?
It is a schnapps. Well, it's both and more.
Oh. So when are we coming over to get some more?
Yeah, we want some. Yeah.
You could have brought some for breakfast. It'd have been fine.
I could have
spice up the show.
It would.
Caffeine and alcohol.
They do say that if you want to start your day right, you do start with some palenka.
And if you want to end it at the same time, you start with more.
You could. And I've just been informed that I should mention that there is a cherry tree in the backyard, you know, where we are too. So hopefully the
you can see it from
right.
the bat.
You can see it from the bat.
Excellent.
Cherries hanging over the bat. So.
Ooh,
yum!
So looking forward to that.
You know, it's really interesting. I was talking to somebody this week, and they were talking about how the cherry in Cherry Coke actually has no cherry in it. No big surprise there.
Doesn't have Coke either.
What they actually did was the recipe. It took them a long time to work on this. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine in Atlanta, her father was one of the original people working on the Cherry Coke flavor for Coca-Cola.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I've tried some of the ones that didn't make it that tasted like Cherry Coke. They were like much more like cheer wine.
Right.
Like really cherry.
I like cheer wine.
Cheer wine's good. But anyway, the recipe, the target audience, the target flavor was those cherry chewable medicines that you had as a kid in the 60s and 70s.
Really?
It's the same flavoring, which is why it targets kind of our
Dr.
audience.
Dr. Pepper and things like that. I mean,
right?
That's the same sort of thing.
And so if you then take a true cherry taste, it's like, but interesting
cough
factoid.
Medicine-y kind of, ooh.
Yeah. No, the Coca-Cola Museum is always fun for trying drinks from around the world.
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
The world of Coca-Cola.
It's a good place to go. Field trip.
Field trip. Road trip.
Co-host field trip.
Road trip.
We're all going to Coca-Cola plant. We're going to gamify Coca-Cola.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're
they've been doing
the
some great stuff with games.
Yes, they have. All right.
Okay.
Well, folks,
I think we are out of time.
We are. So.
This was a great show. And I love the fact that we could actually do it in person.
In person. Face to face. And, you know, don't forget that you can follow us each on Twitter at...
Innovate Game with an 8.
Carolina Big Blue.
And Michael Rose 01, or the podcast itself at games@work_biz. We're available on Facebook at games@work_biz, at Google Plus.
We welcome any and all feedback, comments,
We want to encourage more people to come here to Bean Traders because they are awesome.
Yes.
Awesome sauce, I would think, is the word Mike was thinking. Yeah.
And also just check out our website at games@work.biz. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
You've been listening to games@work.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at games@work_biz or at our website at games@work.biz.